throwing hand, but is expected to be ready for the season opener.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. It is time for the Florida Gator Preview Show. As Billy Napier and the Gators navigated an 8-5 season in 2024, can they build upon that and take the next step as a potential playoff team in 2025? They have DJ Lagway coming back at quarterback and other great position players. Graham Hall of 247 Sports, the Gators, joins us on this edition of the Stingray Show to do a deep dive into Billy Napier and the Florida Gators.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Florida Gator Preview Show. And before we get going, a couple of weeks ago, I brought you guys an interview with former Florida Gator legend wide receiver Chris Doering. And at the end of the interview, to wrap it up, I asked him his thoughts about the Florida Gators in 2025. Before we get to Graham Hall, here is what Chris Doering had to say about his Florida Gators coming into the season for 2025.
I think there's a lot of optimism, man. This is a team that finished the season really strong last year, a remarkable turnaround after a terrible start. A lot of hope with DJ Lagway coming back and being healthy and what he, you know, was able to do as a freshman. A lot of players that have come to Gainesville want to be a part of the DJ Lagway kind of experience. I think they've done a good job in building talent around him. The offensive and defensive lines look more like the Alabamas and Georgias and of this league. So I feel really positive about the direction of the program. They've got to start fast, though. The schedule's a little different this year. They struggled, you know, the last couple of years in openers against Utah and last year against Miami. This year they start against LIU and play USF before going to Baton Rouge to play LSU. So they got a ramp-up period. But I want to see them come into the season a little more prepared, playing with a greater sense of urgency, and see if they can keep that momentum from the end of the 2024 season going.
So that, of course, is how we will open the Stingray Show right there with Chris Doering giving his thoughts on the Florida Gators. Heath, briefly, what are your thoughts on the Gators going into the 25 season?
My biggest concern is depth. And how are injuries going to take hold of this team? Every football team has injuries.
Yeah.
And I think the depth is going to be tested. And how long is that going to take to be tested?
Yes.
So, Stephen, we don't know. We can't predict the future. No one can predict injuries. So with that, That's the biggest thing that I am concerned about is depth going into the season, because it could make or break the entire season.
So let's go on ahead and talk about the depth and more about the Florida Gators, as we are about to be joined by Graham Hall of 247 Sports, who is on the beat in Gainesville. Graham, welcome to the Stingray Show, and thank you for joining us. How are things with you down in Gainesville?
Oh, I can't complain, man. It's the best time of the year. We're almost done with talking season. Yep. We can get to the games. We can see how it all plays out. It's an exciting time. I think there's a little bit of, I don't know if I'd call it anxiety regarding the Florida football program, but it's a lot of wait and see, because the Gators are obviously very confident that they're going to be a better team, but you got to go out there and actually do it. You got to have a better start. Like Heath said, you got to avoid injuries.
Yeah.
And DJ Lagway, that has been a pressing concern about him for the entirety of 2025, even going back to last year, obviously, when he went down against Georgia, also dealt with some shoulder soreness in fall camp last year, and has been very modified, limited throughout 2025. And I think a lot of people are just waiting to see if that's going to impact him in any way, and if the Gators are going to be able to reach the ceiling that they believe that they have.
Graham, I've been asking all of our guests this. I want to start with this one because I'm going to lead to other questions throughout the interview. But everyone that we bring on the beat for all the SEC schools, I ask them, with this offense, are they going to finish in the top half of the SEC or the bottom half? And I will go on and ask about defense as well. At the end of the season, are they going to finish in the top half of the SEC or the bottom half in team defense?
Well, offensively, I think that if all goes according to plan, if DJ Lagway is able to play, you know, even 10 games, say you are still limiting him against Long Island University, USF, I think that Florida has a ceiling on offense to be a very potent, explosive offense. You saw how good Lagway was last year at throwing deep, and he can obviously make plays with his legs, and with his penchant for explosive plays, you think that Florida could be a high-powered scoring offense in 2025. They got a really good tandem in the backfield too with Jaden Baugh and Jacoby Jackson, a lot of promise at wide receiver, returning starter at tight end, some promising tight ends, and then most importantly, I think they have the most experienced offensive line in the conference. They could have the top offensive line in the entire country. So I tend to believe right now that Florida is going to finish in the top half offensively. Now, obviously, everything has to go according to plan. Like I keep saying, got to stay healthy. And there is a drop off, obviously, at quarterback, where if you're without DJ Lagway, what is that offense going to look like? You know, Aiden Warner has improved compared to the six quarters of action that people saw him in last year. Harrison Bailey is a veteran guy who has had a better fall camp than he did a spring camp, which should be expected because now he's spent more time with the system. He's got the timing down with his receivers. He's built the chemistry. He's more comfortable. So that makes sense. And then they have Tremel Jones as well, a freshman who really a developmental year for him, but maybe you see him briefly. But if they have to go to any one of those guys I mentioned, what's that going to look like offensively for Florida? But if everyone stays healthy and it's the Lagway show all year, I think that Florida's a top five offense in the SEC. I don't know if they're going to have a top five rushing attack, but I think that DJ Lagway has a really good chance to contend for a 3,000-yard passing season in Gainesville, which would be a top 10 passing season in program history if that is to be the case. Defensively, you know, you were talking about depth, Heath, and I think defensively that's kind of a little bit of a mixed bag for Florida. You look at the edge position, maybe the deepest position on Florida's roster. You bring back Tyreek Sapp, who led your team in sacks and tackles for loss last year. You get George Gums Jr. to be on the other side there at the Jack linebacker spot. He was really a surprise last year, a standout guy who came over from Northern Illinois, relatively new to the defensive side of the field. You know, he played wide receiver and tight end at Northern Illinois, but he showed that he has a future on, you know, a defensive end there. And then you look at the interior of the defensive line, though, that's a little bit more of the mixed bag territory. You get Caleb Banks back, but who's behind him? Is it Brendan Bett, who they brought in April from Baylor? Is it Tarvarese Brown, a preferred walk-on, a former JUCO guy? You know, Brian Taylor Jr., another unproven yet talented guy. And then at nose tackle, that's probably the biggest question mark on the defense for me, because Jamari Lyons is coming back. He's probably your projected starter right now. He missed all of last year. He suffered a fractured ankle around this time last year in fall camp. And then behind him, you've got a sophomore in Makai Barreau, Are they going to have the push along the interior that's going to make Florida a really good team at stopping the run and getting to the quarterback? If you look at what they were able to do last November, the Gators, I think, had 20 sacks in the month of November alone. I mean, that's more than any non-college football playoff team last year in November. So if they can have similar results there on the defensive front, then they're going to be really good defensively. Obviously, if you replace Jamar James in the front seven, who's now with Dallas Cowboys, but they have a lot of promising linebackers, two second-year guys in Miles Graham and Aaron Childs. You obviously have to replace Jason Marshall Jr. as well at corner, but Devin Moore has been one of the better standout corners when he's been healthy. And everyone knows the name Cormani McClain if they've been following recruiting. He is poised to start at Florida as well. And then they return their two starting safeties from a year ago in Jordan Castell and Bryce Thornton. So if those, you know, issues that I mentioned get worked out or end up not being an issue whatsoever at along the defensive line and, you know, a couple other spots, star is also a position that we're monitoring because Aaron Gates is coming back from a torn ACL and they love to rotate there at the position. And if Gates is limited or hindered in any way, they're going to have to rely on someone else in that room. Defensively, I think Florida is going to be closer to being a middle of the pack defensive team, but I also could see if they're playing consistently at the level that they played at in November, I think that Florida has the potential, if everything comes together, to be a top five defense in the SEC. I think a lot of the questions that a lot of fans have are the small margin for error, certainly playing the SEC schedule that they do once again, along with Miami and Florida State. Are they going to be able to overcome all these quality opponents after the first two kind of, no offense to USF and Long Island, cupcake weeks, so to speak? Are they going to be able to overcome that? And is Florida's coaching staff going to be able to put these guys in the right position to go out there and have the success that they feel like they're capable of? Those are probably bigger questions, in my opinion, than the roster components themselves.
So, Graham, hold that thought. We are up against our first break, and when we come back, we are going to be discussing the offense and DJ Lagway, then the running backs and the wide receivers. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic. Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A lot of traffic lights that are out this afternoon. 15th Street East, both northbound and southbound near Kicker Road. Also, Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, both northbound and southbound at University Boulevard. And we have the traffic lights not working at McFarland Boulevard, both eastbound and westbound at Academy Drive. Now, we do have an accident, Highway 69 southbound at Mimosa Park Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Renee Miller.
Hey. Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside of our Florida preview show. My guest this evening is Graham Hull of 247 Sports, the Gators. And Graham, before the break, we were talking about the offense and the defense, but now let's go on ahead and dive into the DJ Lagway situation, because earlier this month it was reported that he was in a boot at practice. What is the latest that you can give us on DJ Lagway?
Yeah, they're going to be really cautious with DJ Lagway. He's out of the walking boot. Okay. He's participating in 7-on-7 in fall camp, but he's yet to do 11v11 from now 11 practices in of 17 fall camp practices. When he's going to do that, only time will tell. They're not divulging any information on a return timeline for him when it comes to participating in 11-on-11, but they've insinuated and tried to ease concerns regarding him that he's not going to be ready when the season gets here. He's taken a lot of mental reps. He's thrown a ton since the summer. He, you know, we've seen clips of him when guys are out there in 11 on 11. He's standing behind the quarterbacks and simulating his mental reads, going through his progressions. So doing everything he can to stay involved, be knowledgeable and watching the play. But there's no substitute for in-game experience and practice reps as well. So that is certainly one of, I think, the concerns with him when it comes to how he's going to fare in 2025, because he has been away from the game a good bit this year. You know, he was modified throughout spring and then he starts fall camp limited as well. The handful of practices that he could be appearing in down the stretch here in fall camp, and then when you get into game week ahead of that season opener, is it going to be enough? You know, Florida is not saying that they're concerned whatsoever, but they have acknowledged that in a perfect world, you'd like him to be out there for every single rep. There's no way to, substitute in-game experience for him. And as promising as he was last season as a freshman, there's still a lot for him to work on. And getting the timing with these new wide receivers down and obviously doing a better job of reading defenses is something that every quarterback can work on, especially a second-year guy. So that is, I think, probably the biggest question mark with DJ Lagway. Is he going to have made as many improvements as a lot of people would hope that he could make? Because the ceiling is enormous, right? But is he getting closer and closer to that? Was he able to develop enough these past 8 months to get closer to being that Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback that so many people have talked about him as?
Now, earlier last year, through the early part of the season, there was talk of Billy Napier being let go. And then he turned the season around and Florida went 8-5 last year. What is the expectation from the fan base going into 2025?
At least you got to improve upon the regular season win total from a year ago. So you got to get at least 8 wins. But I also think that there is a little bit of an expectation within the fan base that this is a make or break year for Florida. If you're not going to make the college football playoff with this team, with all the starters I mentioned, with DJ Lagway back, returning starters on both sides of the field, the most experienced offensive line that they've had in Gainesville, and most importantly, being in year 4, it's almost the entirety of Billy Napier's roster. So there is an expectation, if they can't do it now, then when is it going to happen? So if they fall short, even an 8-4, you're going to see people disappointed if Florida misses out on the college football playoff. There's a lot of people who think this is college football playoff or bust. You know, with this schedule, one of the bright sides of it, silver lining, so to speak, is that you could, in theory, go 9-3, and there's going to be a lot of people saying with the opponents that Florida has played, seven preseason top 25 teams, that they deserve to be in the conversation for the college football playoff at 9-3. But if you fall short or you have another poor start, you go on the road in week three to LSU, then you play Miami, Texas, Texas A&M. If they can't go 500 in those four games I just mentioned, people are going to be saying stick a fork in them, and you're going to have that whole hot seat conversation once again regarding Billy Napier. So I think the fan base expectations are at least 8 wins. Some people won't even be happy with that. It's kind of in a lot of people's minds, college football playoff or bust.
Okay. Graham, going back to the injury bug, you know, we've talked about DJ Lagway several times. Has there been a repetitive injury that just repeats itself over and over and over with Lagway? Is it a certain leg, whether it be a right ankle and a right knee? Is it, you know, a right shoulder and a right elbow? Is there something just repetitive that we keep seeing it, or is it just kind of spread around all over the body with Lagway?
Yeah, I think it's the latter, because that's part of why I pushed back on the notion that he's quote unquote injury prone, because if it was the same ailment over and over and over again, I think you can make the case that maybe there are some durability concerns there, but it's just kind of bad luck in my mind, because he had the shoulder last year. It's a little bit different shoulder situation now. He had the hamstring last year in the middle of the season, and then he gets a calf strain in a team workout. I mean, that's just kind of bad luck in my mind. I think it's too soon to say that he's an injury prone quarterback. He's just had a run of just unfortunate injuries to, you know, varying parts of his body here. Now, if the shoulder, say he takes a bad hit in the middle of a game this year, and then you have that shoulder re-aggravated and it's a problem, then I do think you're going to sit here and talk about, well, this is something that is now turning into a repeated concern. They have to get to the bottom of it, and that could mean missing extended time. Now, I've heard, and I can't confirm this, and I'm not reporting this whatsoever, that shoulder is going to be reevaluated after the 2025 season, so that it won't be something that has to be managed moving forward for him, where it's better to take it care of and get it out of the way so that he can get back to being, you know, 100% rather than having to manage something consistently. And there's not this talk about his workload and having a snap count and all these things. That's, I think, a conversation for a later time, and some things would have to go wrong for that to occur. But this is something certainly where his health is going to be under the microscope, especially when you have injuries like this. I do think that you could easily take the flip side of it and commend his toughness, so to speak. I mean, this is a 19, 20-year-old guy in the limelight where everyone is evaluating his body under a microscope. They're calling him injury prone. They're talking about his weight. I mean, he's 246 pounds. That's pretty big for a quarterback. They're talking about, you know, slimming him down. And you're having all these conversations about him, and he never shows that it bothers him whatsoever. And he showed last year in November that he came back really quickly from that grade 2 hamstring strain. I mean, he was back in 2 weeks for an injury that normally is going to take a guy a month to recover from. And he was fantastic down the stretch, helped lead Florida to that 4-game win streak to close the year. Could have chosen not to play in the bowl game as well, given that he was still recovering from some things, but wanted to go out there and compete and get the game experience. You don't see that narrative about him about being tough too often, which, you know, that's pretty unfair, in my opinion, to a quarterback who's battled through injuries, competed, had some success, when knowing that he could be looking down the line and preserving his body for the professional level in a couple of years. You know, he's not taking that approach whatsoever. He wants to go out there and compete. But we have all this conversation about him being injury prone when I think that's a little too soon to put that label on him.
With Lagway, staying healthy, you've already mentioned over 3,000 yards passing. Are we going to see them kind of dial it back on the ground this year with DJ to kind of keep him safe? We've seen other coordinators in the past do that with big-time quarterbacks in the SEC. Dak Prescott comes to mind. Other quarterbacks that have got wheels. I think you're going to see that out of John Mateer at Oklahoma this year. Probably Jackson Arnold at Auburn. They're going to kind of dial that, you know, the wheels back a little bit and let them stay in the pocket and throw a little bit more. Is that going to be something with Lagway as well?
Well, I don't think you're going to have this offense where Florida's going to be running a ton of design runs for DJ Lagway, just knowing that, you know, the lower body injury, what happens if he takes a bad hit, given that he's already been dealing with the shoulder injury. They're going to protect him as much as possible. Now, he's going to have the ability to roll out of the pocket, throw on the run, try and play it safe, live to fight another day. But when it comes to Florida's offense being a run-heavy or even a run-first offense, I do think that's going to be what continues. If you look at Billy Napier historically as a head coach, and I know that there's kind of still a limited sample size. You're only talking, what, 7-8 seasons as a head coach now? He's 60-40 run-pass split. So you're going to run the ball a lot. They're going to take a by-committee approach and use three, maybe even four backs in that backfield. I don't think you're going to have this situation, though, where Lagway is going to be used too often as a runner whatsoever. Now, he can turn broken plays into, you know, chunks of yardage. You're going to see that,
right,
where he makes something happen outside the play call. But I don't think they're going to use him as a designated runner. Maybe they're going to use him, you know, in goal line situations there, just given how big he is and tough he is to take down. But protecting him is a key area of focus for Florida. They have to make sure that they are not putting him in harm's way. And you got some talented backs where if you're going to run the ball, just give it to Jaden Baugh or Jacoby Jackson, two guys who are just incredibly hard to bring down. Jaden Baugh is the strongest player pound for pound on Florida's roster. Give him the ball. He looks fantastic. Don't put the key for your offense in harm's way as much as you can.
So, Graham, hold that thought. We are up against another break here on the Florida Preview Show. And when we come back, we are going to continue with the offense and then get to the defense. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a flash. Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. The deals at South's Finest Meats just keep getting better and better, and this week through August the 12th, they have a great deal on Ziegler products, including 12 ounces of Southern Style Smoked Sausage 2 for $6, 12 ounces of thick or regular sliced bologna 2 for $5, 12 ounces of Jumbo Frank Hot Dogs 2 for $5, or 24 ounces of Stack Pack Sliced Bacon $7.98. They also have great deals on beef, chicken, and fish this week that run through August the 12th. Go by there today and check out some of the amazing deals at South's Finest Meats.
The best sports talk in the state, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save. Welcome back inside the Florida Gator preview show. Our guest this evening is Graham Hall from 247 Sports to Gators. And Graham, before the break, we were talking about DJ Lagway. Now let's transition to the running back position. How does that position look this year for Florida?
Yeah, it's the Jaden Baugh show in my mind. He led Florida as a freshman in rushing yards. He was really impressive, and he's gotten physically stronger. He's quicker. He's learning the intricacies of the game more. Still really relatively fresh last year, and he was able to be impactful, go for over 600 yards on the ground. This is a guy who makes guys miss in the open field. He's got good footwork. He's going to be your number one back. And then Jacoby Jackson, a redshirt senior, stepping into that leadership role that was vacated in Montrell Johnson heading to the NFL. Jacoby Jackson is your good 1-2 punch, a little bit more of a bruiser, smaller guy, hard to bring down in the open field, has really, really improved his body as well. And then you have a really interesting battle, I think, for that third running back role. Florida's going to use at least three running backs. KD Daniels is a guy that, you know, pretty well known up in Mississippi. He was, I think, the Mississippi High School Player of the Year. A lot of SEC programs wanted him. He didn't have the year he wanted last year, but he was behind multiple guys on the roster, including Bob Montrell, Jacoby Jackson, and Treyon Webb, where he just didn't get the opportunities. But he's had a fantastic spring and fall. He's going to be your number three guy, a really good pass-catching back out of the backfield as well. And then we'll see who is behind him. There's two freshmen, Byron Lewis, you know, still learning, absolutely, still developing, but a lot of talent, high ceiling as well. And then Duke Clark is the name that we've probably heard the most of the freshman running backs. I think he has a chance to be that fourth guy in the backfield, but could contend for being the third guy. And, you know, it's a physical position. Guys are going to go down. They have to make sure that the freshman and Daniels are ready to compete. But they feel really, really good about that room. Jabbar Jalouk, the assistant coach, does a really good job. Jabbar Jalouk coached Leonard Fournette. So a really, really good pedigree as well. And Florida expects to run the ball at a high rate this season once again.
You know,
Graham, real quick, try saying Jabbar Jalouk five times fast. Goodness gracious.
Well, I've got a lot of practice. I think he's an awesome guy, especially. You know, he's someone that every program would love to have on their coaching staff. He's put a lot of guys in the NFL now. And I think Jaden Baugh is going to be the next one that he puts in the NFL.
Go ahead, Heath.
Graham, looking at this offense, what are the biggest concerns or holdbacks or anything, things that you raise an eyebrow to or a little hesitant on, raising an eyebrow at, whatever? Is it play calling? Is it receivers going over the middle, taking the top off the defense? Is it depth at running back, which I doubt? Is it, you know, what is it with this offense that you have a little bit of a concern going into the season that, like, oh, this is what I thought could happen?
Well, I don't know if I would use the word concern with this one, with play calling, but I do think it's a massive question because Billy Napier hasn't gotten the, you know, respect nationally as an offensive guru, let's say that. And I do think there's a question of whether he is going to put Lagway and all the weapons that Florida has at the skill positions in a position to be successful and explosive this season. It's kind of also a tough situation for him because think of it this way. If the Gators are explosive on offense, Billy Napier's not going to get any of the credit, right? And that's, you know, fair or not, people are going to say, oh, well, he's got DJ Lagway. He's got a bunch of talent and wide receivers. You know, it's not a Napier offense. He hasn't shown us something new. But if Florida's dismal offensively or even mediocre, people are going to give all the blame to Billy Napier. So it's a tough situation to be in. There's been a narrative for the last couple of years in Gainesville that he should hire an offensive coordinator. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Just also the heat it takes off you as a head coach where, you know, if the offense doesn't go well, you kind of have a scapegoat. You've got a fall guy right there where you can pin the blame on. This is Billy Napier, who has been the primary play caller at Florida since he got to Gainesville. Now, the interesting thing, though, is Russ Callaway is now stepping in as Florida's offensive coordinator. He's also the tight ends coach. So you also have a situation where Florida is explosive on offense. If any coach is going to get the credit for that, aside from giving the respect to the players, it's probably going to be Callaway, right? So that's my most interesting thing They have a little, very small margin for error when it comes to the offense and the play calling. Billy Napier's not going to get the credit, which is, you know, fair or not, that's up for discussion, and we'll obviously talk about it throughout the year. If I had to name another area that is a potential concern, I'll say wide receiver. You know, a ton of talent, a lot of potential, but they are losing their top two pass catchers from a season ago, and Shimmeray DK, who's went to the fourth round of the Tennessee Titans, and Elijah Badger, who's been standing out in preseason camp with the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to replace those guys, and you have a lot of guys who are talented, but you're still having to replace a ton of production. J. Michael Sturdivant comes over from UCLA, didn't really have effective quarterback play, but he had really, really good numbers for two of his seasons, had a good season at Cal before he went to UCLA. Is he going to be able to be the next impact transfer wide receiver at Florida? It remains to be seen, but we've heard really, really good things about him. He's got good size and speed, and he has a lot of talent as well, but it is a transition to this level of the game. And then you look behind him, a lot of promising underclassmen who, when you talk about some of the injury concerns so far in fall camp, those are the guys that have been addressed. You've seen Eugene Wilson III miss some time in spring, in fall camp, as well as missing time in spring camp. Aiden Mizell picked up a minor injury, but he's full go now. Khalil Jackson was a starter at the start of the season last year for Florida. He's had a torn ACL, still working his way back, but the expectation is he's going to be back sooner than later. And then you have a lot of promising freshmen who I think they're going to lean on the freshmen pretty early. You know, Dallas Wilson had a standout spring game. We talked about 10 catches, 195 yards, two touchdowns back in April during the spring game. You also had Vernell Brown III, a guy who a lot of Power Four teams were after. He's probably going to be your primary punt returner and potentially your kick returner as well. Tank Hawkins is a sophomore who comes back. I could keep going on and on and on. You know, they have 10 guys that are going to have a chance to command snaps within this offense, but you don't really have a proven wide receiver returning from a production standpoint. Eugene Wilson has the talent and the potential to be one of the better pass catchers in the SEC. Dallas Wilson currently out of practice right now. He's got a cast on his left leg. When is he going to be back? And is that going to hinder him from being full strength when he does get back? So I think that's a potential area of concern for the offense. Frankly, I think that Florida has a lot of talent at wide receiver and they're going to be really, really good there. But it is a question until we actually see it in a game about how effective they are going to be.
So, Graham, hold that thought. We are up against our final break. And when we come back, we are going to switch to the other side of the football, the defense for the Florida Gators. And then we will get your prediction on the Florida Gators with the schedule. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up with the defense and the schedule right after this.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, it's Gary Harris. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., Matt Coulter will join me for the NASCAR update, plus Larry the Music Man, and our high school football previews continue. And, of course, plenty of Alabama football discussion as well as your phone calls. That's the Gary Harris Show, Wednesday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 a.m. on Tide 100.9 and Tide100.9.com.
How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again, at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A lot of traffic lights that are out this afternoon. 15th Street East, both northbound and southbound near Kicker Road. Also, Lurleen B. Wallace Boulevard, both northbound and southbound at University Boulevard. And we have the traffic lights not working at McFarland Boulevard, both eastbound and westbound at Academy Drive. Now, we do have an accident, Highway 69 southbound at Mimosa Park Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Renee Miller.
Under the biggest.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey, Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Welcome back inside the Florida Gator Preview Show. Our guest this evening is Graham Hall of 247 Sports The Gators. Graham is taking time out of his schedule to join us after coming back from practice. And Graham, when you look at the defense, give us your thoughts on that side of the football this year for the Florida Gators, because they were magical last year down the stretch to give Florida that 8-5 record.
Yeah, a lot of talent returns to this defense. I think that two of the biggest offseason wins for Florida were getting Tyreek Sapp back and Caleb Banks back, two guys who, if they had headed to the NFL, would have heard their names called potentially really early, especially for Banks. You know, that was a guy who just had a monster November. The key for him, though, is being as consistent throughout the whole season as he was in November. But he is probably one of your most proven guys returning to this team. A lot of talent where he has a chance to, with a good year, turn himself into a early round draft choice in 2026, potentially a first or second round guy. Tyreek Sapp, your leading sack leader from a year ago. You get George Gums Jr. back at the jack position. I already talked about nose tackle. That's one of, I think, the interesting areas that we're going to have to track when the season gets here. But I do think that they are really high on Jamari Lyons and Makai Barreau. But you got to rotate consistently there, just given, you know, how tough it is to play consistent snaps along the interior at that weight in this heat in the SEC. So that is certainly one to watch. I think also looking at the rest of the front seven, you talk about maybe an injury concern that we haven't touched on. Grayson Howard was really, really good last year. I don't think he missed a tackle as a sophomore, but he missed the final three games of the year, and he's missed the majority of the year as well when it comes to being available for practice. He missed all of spring, and then he missed the start of fall camp. He's finally back out there now for the past couple of practices, but that's your guy who's got the in-helmet communication. He's kind of the quarterback of the defense, relaying the signals, what the coaching staff sees, you know, acknowledging adjustments to his teammates. You really need that guy back out there. But they feel really good about the linebacker spot outside of Howard, his potential injury concerns. Billy Napier said the other day that they think they have four future NFL linebackers on that team, and that includes obviously Howard, but also two sophomores in Miles Graham, the son of former Florida running back Ernest Graham, and then Aaron Childs, who has just been a standout in fall camp. That's a really interesting, you know, guy in Childs, because he can play that weak side linebacker spot, but he also can be used as a little bit of an edge rusher, stack backer, whatever you want to call it, a guy who can, you know, drop into coverage, rush the passer, do a ton of things within your defense to give you some different looks. They're going to find a way to get three linebackers on the field consistently. And then Jaden Robinson is a guy that I think is going to have a really, really good year as well. So those four right there, Florida feels really good about their front seven. I think the secondary is also a little bit of a question, but you have a lot of talent. Devin Moore is someone who consistently has graded out well during his time at Florida, but injuries have just kept him off the field too often. I think he's only played around, you know, six or seven games each of the past two, 3 years. You need him to be fully healthy because you look behind him, Dijon Johnson, also been dealing with injuries throughout fall camp. This was the first practice today, Florida's 11th practice, where he was a full go participant in camp. So those two guys right there, you got to make sure that they're durable. Cormani McClain is stepping into a starting role for the first time in his collegiate career. He's going to have to be consistent, put it together, showcase the maturity that he's brought to this program in 2025 after his first 2 years of college football were a little bit uneasy, I'll say that. So those guys at corner is probably one of the other big questions on the defense. You got to make sure that you can develop some of the younger guys as well, like Ben Hanks III, another legacy guy on the defense, along with Miles Graham. You know, that's going to be a guy who I think is going to play as a freshman in spurts, and you're going to need him in the rotation, especially if an injury occurs. You're going to have to rely on him. Safety is probably one of the more certain things on Florida's defense because you return Jordan Castell, who has started every game but one in his UF career. He was a rotational piece in the 2023 season opener against Utah, but has been a starter ever since then. Bryce Thornton started opposite him down the stretch last year, and Thornton just showed that he was an absolute ball hawk. He had a pair of picks against Jackson Dart there in that upset over Ole Miss last season, and he's firmly entrenched as a starter there. And they have a couple young guys as well and some transfers that they brought in to help fill in the depth there. I'll also briefly touch on Star real quick. Aaron Gates is someone who's coming back from a devastating knee injury, his second ACL tear in 3 years. He also tore his ACL in the senior year of high school, kept him out for the majority of his freshman season. And then he was really, really good last year, but then suffers an injury on that, I think, the second play of the game against Ole Miss last year. He's back, but he's been a little bit limited in practice. He wasn't actually out there today. I don't know what the issue is with him. I've heard he's dealing with a lower body injury, but he's your guy. He's your starter who is considered to be one of the most talented players on Florida's defense. You need him fully healthy. Sharif Denson right there at star as well. They're going to rotate a ton, but if Gates is unavailable, they're going to have to rely on someone who is rather unproven, whether it's Josiah Davis or Lagonza Hayward or, you know, Michael Caraway Jr. potentially could play in there as well, a guy who transferred from Southern Miss. So certainly some questions in the secondary. I think the secondary, along with the nose tackle position, are some of the key points that we're looking for to see how they're going to fare when the season opens.
So, Graham, looking at the schedule, Florida opens up with FCS opponent Long Island. Then they welcome in the Bulls of South Florida. Then they go to Miami, and then the Noles of Florida State come to Gainesville the last regular season weekend. If you would, talk about the non-conference schedule and the schedule as a whole.
And before you answer, Graham, nobody listening to this, including us three, knew that Long Island had a football program until this year. Yep. There's not a soul out there that knew that.
Well, I respect, you know, them coming down here and playing in this heat. You know, I'll give them the credit. You know, look up their stadium. This is going to be quite an experience for them coming to play at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. I don't think they'll have seen anything like it before. It's going to be hard to prepare for. No offense to Long Island whatsoever. It should be a tune-up game for the Gators where they have a chance to play some of the freshmen as well, some of the second and third string guys. I mean, DJ Lagway shouldn't have to play more than, you know, 10 snaps in my mind. Maybe they play him a little bit more given that he has been out for so long and it would just benefit him to get back in the flow. But this should be one of the few games where you can play your reserve guys, guys who you plan on redshirting this year, where they can get a ton of experience. And Florida maybe doesn't run it up that much because of it, but you'd rather have the reps than beat that team by 70. USF, no disrespect to them. I just do think that they've lost a good bit of talent. And, you know, I think Alex Galesh is a good head coach, but they got to come to Gainesville. And I think that Florida is going to start the year a lot better. And I do think that Florida is going to win that game by double digits. Miami is an interesting one because I think that Miami has improved at several positions in comparison to last year. I got questions about Carson Beck, though. I don't think he's going to be anywhere as dynamic as Cam Ward was. If you remember, go back to Florida versus Georgia last year, you know, Florida picked off Carson Beck three times. You know, if they can get takeaways and they can find a way to run the ball consistently against that defense, I think it's a really talented defense, even though they lost some key pieces. I just have questions about Miami's offense right now. I think they're good on the offensive line. I think it's one of the better offensive lines in the country. But I do just have some questions about how explosive Miami's offense is going to be. And no disrespect to Miami fans. Don't be getting in my mentions or using this as, you know, bulletin board material. That's not really a true road game for Florida. You know, being in the state of Florida, I think Florida fans are going to travel well. They always say the Gator Nation is everywhere. I think a ton of Florida fans will be down there as well. And I don't know if that game is going to be fully packed in the stadium. I'd hope it is. But I don't think it's going to be as hostile of an environment as Florida's going to face early in the season, especially they got to go to LSU the week before. Yeah. FSU, you got to think that they're going to be better than 2-10, right? You got to think that they're going to showcase some improvement, but how improved are they going to be? And they got to come to Gainesville this season. I think that that's another double-digit win for Florida. So even if Florida goes just 3-1 in the non-conference slate, say they do lose to Miami, which I think will be a closer game than it was last year when Florida lost 41-17 in the season opener. I think they'll go 3-1 at the bare minimum in non-conference play, which that's about what I think a lot of people should expect. It'd be fantastic for them if they went 4-0, because then you give yourself a little bit of, you know, wiggle room there in the SEC, where you could still lose three games in the SEC and people are talking about you as still a potential college football playoff team. No Florida fan wants to hear this, but it's absolutely possible that we're sitting here at the midpoint of the year and Florida is 2-4. You could lose at LSU. You could lose at Miami. You could lose at home to Texas, and then you could lose to Texas A&M. They could be competitive in every one of those games and lose them four games by a combined, you know, 13 points, and no one's going to feel good about it whatsoever. That stretch is going to be critical to Florida's success. Even if they go 2-2 in that four-game stretch I mentioned, people are going to be feeling pretty good because you beat probably four top 15 teams, right?
Yep.
And you're going to feel good about everything you just said the rest of the way. Even if you're sitting there at 4-2, you got a lot of winnable games left. Mississippi State, Kentucky. What is Ole Miss's offense going to look like going from Dart to Austin Simmons? I think Austin Simmons is fantastic, but you could easily see without their top wide receiver and quarterback from last year that there's going to be a drop off there, even though you got to go to Oxford. Tennessee, what is their offense going to look like? You know, no more Nico. You got to go to Aguilar. It's in Gainesville. And then you play FSU. There's a really good chance that Florida wins those three games right there. And then we're sitting here talking about a 7-5 team, in a sense, a team that's potentially 8-4 if they can beat Georgia. You know, if you get through that stretch, even at 500, people are not going to be jumping off the ship. They're not going to be calling for Billy Napier to be fired if Florida looks competitive in those games and doesn't get swept in those four games. So I think that's what's really fascinating. The beginning of the schedule is so much more favorable because you can afford to make mistakes. There's not as much urgency right now to be the best you can possibly be because you're not bringing in a team to Gainesville that has the number one offense like Miami last year and a Heisman Trophy candidate and, you know, finalist in Cam Ward. So you got a little bit of a leeway there, but you have to be ready to go by September 13th because then it's kind of a make or break stretch for Florida.
Well, Graham, good luck to the Florida Gators. We are pulling for them to be a potential SEC championship team and a playoff team. We would love to catch up with you during the season to talk about the Florida Gators and Billy Napier.
Absolutely. Let's do it. It's an exciting time of the year.
All right. So, Graham, look, man, enjoy covering the Gators this season, and I'm sure we will catch up with you down the line.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Great job as always.
Thank you, Graham. So, Heath, that is going to wrap up another edition of the Stingray Show. Really do want to thank Graham Hall for joining us for the Florida Gator Preview Show tomorrow evening. A quick scheduling note, we are going to be starting a little bit late from tomorrow through the remainder of the season, because Hey Coach begins tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. That will push us a little bit later to 8 p.m. So immediately after Hey Coach ends, stay tuned as the Stingray Show will be doing our Texas A&M Aggie football preview show with Olin Buchanan. How are they going to do down in College Station? We will find out tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. right here on the Stingray Show. And Heath, I will leave you with this. Go Gators. Good luck to Billy Napier in Florida. But I've got them going 7-5.
Yeah, wow. Okay. It could happen. It could easily happen. I just think the injuries and the depth issues, that we don't know what's going to happen with injuries this year. They could win double-digit games, Stephen. They could be 6-6.
Yes.
You just do not know. I like the defense. I like the offense. But the depth, I'm just worried about that depth and injuries coming to play.
A&M preview show tomorrow night.
Giggle. Howdy. Woohoo.
Now you're trying to be the cheerleader.
Nope, you've got that one nailed down.
The deal?